Last questions. We're going through what Jesus says in John 14, 6, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're going to be thinking about this question today. How can I be sure that there's more to life than this? I think, you know, a lot of times the world says today, you know, is you're to make the most of your life. Carpe diem, seize the day, live life to the fullest, live to all your potential. But we want to think about this question, what does it mean to live life to the fullest? And so for a couple of minutes, just chat between your pairs there. Think about what do you think it means to live life to the fullest? I'll join you guys and then, yeah, we'll bring it back together in a few minutes. Okay, great stuff. So let me just give you guys a quote from Aristotle here. Ancient philosopher Aristotle once said that happiness is the meaning and purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. But where can we find this happiness? I think that's the question that comes up to us. And will it help us in our endeavor to live life to the fullest? And there are moments where I find myself thinking that we are incredibly lucky to be living in London, in a place and time where we have so much available to us. Somebody once said that London is the playground for adults. And it's true, isn't it? You know, you can go out to a show every weekend. There's so many activities you can do. But with everything that we can have and do, and even just rest, will any of it bring us happiness? So imagine for a second that you got everything you wanted in life. You got the dream job. You got that perfect someone by your side. You own everything that you want and you need. Will that be enough? You might be living life to its fullest potential. You could be the most elite in your field, and yet it doesn't mean that you're living life to the fullest. It doesn't mean that you find satisfaction and fulfillment in those things. In fact, more likely, it will probably be the opposite. Listen to this quote from marketing psychologist and an advertising executive, Rory Sutherland. He says this, take a footballer, for example. They may earn a few hundred thousand pounds a week. They come home to their eager wife or girlfriend, and they have a garage full of Bentleys, Ferraris, Rolls-Royce cars. And yet they find that the most enjoyable thing that they can do is sit at home and play a computer game which costs them 20 quid. Now, for someone to be earning that much money, they have to be at the top of their field, great at what they do. And yet they could have everything that they wanted, and yet it's still not enough to make them happy. They still need something else to help them find that rest, to find that satisfaction, to find that fulfillment. Now, as fun as computer games are, they're not going to give you the happiness and satisfaction you need. In fact, in his book, The Happiness Hypothesis, Jonathan Haidt notices the temporary nature of happiness in the lives of those who are either living in the moment or of bliss or an event that changes their lives dramatically. He says these words, research shows that the people who won the lottery return to their base level of happiness just a year later. And the impact of a holiday can only last for as much as 2 weeks. So to summarize this, we can say this. Happiness is cheap. It doesn't satisfy us and it will not last. That's because there's always going to be moments in our lives where we're shaken and we face existential crisis. There come moments of major life transitions as changes come to us, bereavement happens to us as those near to us pass away, job loss, having to change career pathways, or confronting that we cannot live to the fullest and reach our potential because of a ceiling that might be in a way or because of something that doesn't go the way we expect. But a lot of times we don't want to think about these things, do we? Not with all that's going on in the world, and with each day feels like we're being dragged down and down further into hopelessness and despair. And so we'd rather be happy, won't we? Let me rewind the clock back to 2013. One of the biggest songs that year was the song Happy by Pharrell Williams. A song that became incessantly catchy and just drilled into your head. Because of the upbeat vibe, but also the message that people wanted to latch onto. You know, it says in the song, clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. And clap along if you know what happiness is to you. But happiness is cheap, as we've seen. For just as quickly as we find it, it's gone the moment something changes. It might help us feel good for a moment, but it can't be the truth if it quickly disappears. in the moment we're hit with bad news. But maybe we're looking for the wrong place to find that meaning and satisfaction that will help us in life. You'll see a quote on your pages there, and I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. It's one that leaves me thinking more about this. C.S. Lewis says this: "If I find myself in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it and direct me to the real thing." What do you guys make of this quote? I'm going to hand over to you guys, and I'm going to ask two questions. What do you make of this quote? And have you ever found yourself wondering, is there more to life than this? And that there might be something better to live for? If so, what could that be? Let's chat about that for a few moments at our tables, and then I'll break in once again. Good stuff. Before we go any further, though, I think it would be good for us just to pray and think about these things deeper. Father, we thank you for the discussion we've had so far. And Father, we pray that as we can look at your word now, Father, you speak to us, help us to see what it is your word has to say about these things. And Father, in looking at your word, we will see where life is found and why that is good news for us to hear. Lord, speak to us now and help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this quote from C.S. Lewis here: "If I find myself a desire in which no experience this world can satisfy," it causes us to think the answer must be found beyond this anything found in this world. And if there is a real thing, then this world is just a taster. So how can we know the real thing? Now, lots of times we think if we have this or that, then our lives will be better. And we were talking about that at our table. We will be satisfied. But the reality is, anything we find in this world, possessions, career, relationships, lifestyle, and despite the pleasure they might give us, they can actually rob us of joy and that can be known. As we've seen already, happiness is cheap. And sometimes when these things replace something which is greater, we find ourselves disappointed with these things. Relationships can be broken. Careers can be volatile and messy and destructive. Possessions can cause us to place our wealth in the wrong things. But joy is greater. Joy is deeper. It's more lasting. It goes beyond happiness that is cheap. And in John's Gospel, John tells us that the one who made this world and everything in it came into this world to reveal to us the life and joy that is found in him. Last week we thought about how we can know what is true. In John's Gospel we discovered that the truth is found in Jesus, who tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now when it comes to life and being alive, we thought a lot about what it means to be happy, to live life to the fullest. And if the things of this world can rob us of that true and deep joy, then listen to what Jesus has to say about himself in John chapter 10. He says these words to his listeners: "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." So with that comes the question, what do you think of what comes to mind when you think of what it means to have an abundant life? Are you still thinking about wealth and possessions? Are you thinking about your career being the best it could be, or that dream marriage? Or maybe you're thinking about inner peace and satisfaction that overflows. It's like a pot that boils over on the stove that you've left for too long. Well, in John's Gospel, we see what Jesus means when he's talking about this abundant life and how it is only found in him. And for a few moments, we're going to see two ways in which Jesus shows us that through him, we can know this abundant life through two encounters that he has. And we have two points that we're going to look at here, and you can see them on your sheets there. Life comes from seeing who Jesus is, and life comes from seeing what Jesus gives us. Now let's think about this first point, shall we? Turn with me to John chapter 3. You can find it on page 7. And in John chapter 3, Jesus has an encounter with a religious ruler called Nicodemus. Nicodemus wanted to meet with Jesus and find out more about him. Now, Nicodemus recognized that there was something about Jesus that meant that he had to pay attention to him. And so when he meets him, he asks this question. Actually, turn over the page with me here on and see with me at verse 2. Nicodemus asks him this question. You can see it at the top of the page. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him. Now Nicodemus sees Jesus as a great teacher who came from God. However, Jesus wants to show Nicodemus that he is someone who is greater than just a teacher. But in his actions, Jesus reveals that he is more than just any old teacher who's come from God. And so after an exchange of words, Jesus later says this to Nicodemus, which you can see for yourself on page 8. Look down with me here at verses 13 to 14. Jesus says this to him, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And if Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Now, just for context here, Nicodemus and Jesus have been in this exchange chatting about how one can see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is kind of confused by Jesus' answers here, because Nicodemus only has more questions to Jesus' answers. But Jesus wants to make it clear to him that to have and know eternal life, you must believe in the Son of Man. And Jesus here is using an example from that Nicodemus would have been aware of from his own history and Nicodemus' religious understanding. So go back with me to a time where God's people are in the wilderness, and in the wilderness their rebellion prevented them from entering the promised land. Now their rebellion was punished as deadly snakes entered the camp. God's cure was to tell Moses to make a bronze serpent, lift it on a pole, and place the pole in the middle of the camp. Anyone who was bitten by a snake, they could look at the pole by trusting God and believing, and in looking at the snake in belief, they would be saved. They would be cured. And Jesus is saying this to Nicodemus. God has sent his king, the Son of Man, who is the cure for this world. He will be lifted up. And if you see who he is, you too can enter God's kingdom. John helps us to know who this Son of Man is earlier in this gospel when he says this in John chapter 1. He says this, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is through Jesus Christ. He has made him known. But why is it that necessary to look to Jesus? Why can't we just go on living life the way we want to and seeking to find satisfaction and meaning our own way? Why can we not just find our own way to find eternal life? Well, as a religious leader, Nicodemus knew is the example that is shown to us here of the way of that his way of living, which is a morally good life or religious life, isn't good enough. It isn't good enough to know the eternal life that God offers. And to do our own thing and to live whatever way we choose is to be rebellious to God, something which leads to death. Now, last week we looked at some familiar words, and these words help sum up the message that Jesus gives Nicodemus. And you can see it for yourself if you keep reading John chapter 3 in verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You see, God doesn't want us to face death. He gives us a way not just to avoid it, but to have eternal life. Now this comes through his Son, who is Jesus, and he went to die for us by being raised up on the cross so that we could avoid the charge for our rebellion against God. John also says this, verse 18, "Whoever believes in him," that's Jesus, "is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." I don't know if you've ever walked down the street and you've seen an office throwing out old furniture, and sometimes they might write big letters and a notice in front of it, the word condemned on it. What they're telling you is that furniture is no longer fit for purpose. It's only good for the skip. And John is telling us here the grave warning that will happen if we don't believe in Jesus. Because not to look to Jesus to see what he's done for us or to see who he is will lead to us being condemned by God. That is to say, we will be separated from God forever. The opposite of eternal life is eternal separation and death. But if we see who Jesus is and believe in him, then we won't be condemned. That's what John is saying here. But we will know the life that Jesus brings. Now this sounds pretty great, doesn't it? But how does that mean that we will then have abundant life? A life that is full of satisfaction? Because yes, to avoid judgment is an amazing thing to hear. But what else does this eternal life mean? Now, last year, Sprite relaunched their advertising campaign with the slogan that says, "Obey your thirst." And with the message is that in order to be satisfied in life, you must be true to yourself and create your own path to live. Therefore, drink Sprite. Makes sense. But in the same way, Sprite doesn't satisfy us, our thirst. It just makes us want to drink more Sprite because we actually need water. Trying to find satisfaction in life our own way will just leave us gasping for more. And so what can Jesus offer us instead? Well, just on in the next chapter of John, and we come across an individual who has an encounter with Jesus that changes her life for the better. As we see that life comes from seeing what Jesus also gives us. And in John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman in a town called Sychar, which is in the region of Samaria. Now, just give you a bit of context here. Jewish people don't mix with people from Samaria, Samaritans. They didn't get on with each other at all. And yet Jesus meets this woman. He goes to fetch water from the town well in the middle of the day. And Jesus asks her very plainly for a glass of water, or a drink of water. Now this lady is shocked because Jesus here is a Jew. And a Jew is speaking to a Samaritan woman. This is unheard of. But listen to what Jesus says in response, and you can see it for yourself in page 10. Jesus says these words. Just on verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that sent you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Go down to verse 13 with me. "Everyone who drinks of this water," that's the water from the well, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again." Now this water that Jesus is offering her will satisfy her thirst, that she'll never need to obey her thirst again. This is because she's able to then know the meaning of life, of purpose, as to why she is here. Now the Bible tells us very clearly of our purpose, that we were made to know God and to enjoy him forever. The only problem is that our rebellion to God means that our lives were cut short from living forever and from knowing him. However, just as we've seen in John chapter 1, believing in Jesus means that we can now have eternal life. That is life that goes on forever and once again with God. But there's more to the picture than this. Because in the past, the source of living water was known to come from God, who offered it to his people. This water would satisfy them as they knew him, and in doing so, they would live joyful lives. Lives that were full of meaning, lives that were full of peace. However, they constantly rebelled against God. They grumbled, they disagreed with him, they did their own thing. And so life became difficult for them in their rebellion. They didn't know joy and peace, but eventually their cheap thrills led to them knowing only despair as they were cut off from not only the good things that God gives them, but also God himself and his kindness. Now this woman that we see here in John chapter 4, she lived a life that was very stark contrast to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Jewish religious leader. He saw himself as above everybody, morally speaking. However, this Samaritan woman lived a life that Nicodemus would look down upon. She previously had 5 husbands and is currently living with somebody who isn't her husband. Now make of that what you will. But one thing is clear here. Jesus doesn't avoid her. Jesus engages with her and speaks to her. Jesus doesn't just speak to her, but he offers her something better than she could ever find in this world. And as Jesus reveals her life to her, in which he tells her the things that are going on in her life, but even tells her things about himself as well, it means that she is both able to see that Jesus is worth paying attention to. Jesus tells her who he is. He is the Christ. He is God's Son, who is sent not just to tell her everything, but give her what she needs. He can satisfy her, and he can give her joy. That joy that comes from the eternal life given in knowing God. The same way that God's people could do so in the past. And in John chapter 17, Jesus says these words when it comes to explaining this eternal life. Jesus says this, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That is what Jesus is saying here in his prayer to God. He says that to know eternal life, or to get have this eternal life, is to know God and to know Jesus as the one that God sends. Now, not only did this woman believe what Jesus said, but she went and told others who would then believe as well. Now remember what John said in chapter 3, verse 16. Whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. This is not just a life that goes on forever, but this is life that is to the full. A life that constantly springs up from inside and is overflowing with joy. Because a person who has eternal life will not just not perish. Are you with me? Under God's judgment because of their rebellion. But they will also know God's mercy, his peace, and his grace. Now what is this grace here? Now imagine having this peace that nothing else in this world could offer. Imagine that you're not just happy for a moment, but you're filled with joy that is full and cannot be taken away. This comes from Jesus and what he freely offers you right now. It's a gift. It is eternal life. It is abundant life in its fullest. And it comes from knowing God. But in order to have the gift, you have to receive it. You have to accept what Jesus says is trustworthy and true. And believe in him. And believe in who Jesus is and what he's done for you. Jesus says this in John 5:24, which I think is a great summary of what he offers. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." And as we've seen across this short series, Jesus makes these 3 claims. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Jesus doesn't just offer us the way to know God and the truth to make it plain to see, but his way and his truth leads to life. And Jesus proves that he can give us this life, not just through his life being given for us in death, but through his resurrection as well. Jesus died and rose so that we can know the offer of eternal life is real and true. And all we have to do is believe. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, in knowing Jesus, you can know that there is more to life. That life has meaning, direction, and purpose. All of it comes from the one who says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to find out more about these things, if you're here today, a couple of weeks' time, we're going to be looking at John's Gospel together every Thursday at lunchtime. If you want to see more of who Jesus is, come speak to Naomi or myself, and we'll tell you the details about it. In the meantime, there's a couple of questions for you to discuss. But before we chat about these things in more detail, let me just raise up a couple of notices for you. So as I've mentioned, we have our new Explorers group in John's Gospel together, starting in a couple weeks' time. And you'll see there we have a guest event in a few weeks' time over at St. Bottles Church. And we're going to be thinking about the question, ever feel like something's missing? And it costs £10, and that'll include a meal as well. Please bring a guest along with you as we eat together and discuss this question to see what the Bible's answer is to it. And next week we'll be going back into the into the book of 1 Samuel as we'll be continuing our series there and looking at it. If you want to sign up for a newsletter, please scan the QR code and you can do so. But let me just pray as we bring this to a close, and then we'll chat about the questions that are on your pages. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you that Jesus is the way to know you, and knowing you is the key to having eternal life. Father, we pray that we would not only know this life as being freedom from sin and death and judgment, but life that has meaning and satisfaction and peace in our lives. Father, help us to cling on to this life always, even as for those of us here who know you as Lord. And Father, we pray that we can hold out this life to others around us as well. Pray that this would be a help to us and encouragement to us today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.